Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of the future of Islam. Professor John Esposito today is going to dig deep into his topic, not to look at the future of Islam, but to look at the past of Islam, what happened in the past. He told us in our previous studies that we do not know too much about Islam. Our diplomats and our politicians do not know too much about Islam. And because of that, we kind of paint Muslims and Islam with a big, wide brush, as if all the Muslims are the same. There's no difference between a good Muslim and a bad Muslim. Those who love America and those who hate America. Those who shout death to America and those who are helping America to be where it is right now. This is not my words, my friend. This is the lecture of Professor John Esposito, which he gave in Kentucky University just a few years ago. So, without further ado, here is his comments about how we mistakenly treat all Muslims the same. That is when he said,
but what happens when you see that is then there's a brushstroking of everyone if you don't understand that society.
Yes, indeed, my friends. If you don't understand the Islamic society, you kind of lump them all together and paint them with this big white brush. This is the normal reaction I have heard from so many American liberals who attended my meetings and they disagree with my teachings. Mr. Dakdak, you cannot paint all Muslims with one white brush. I heard that comment so many times. There are good Muslims in our community. The doctors and the lawyers and the teachers, my neighbor are the best and they are Muslims. And we can go on and on and on with the Americans who are defending the Muslim and Islam without knowing a thing or two about Muslims and Islam. And I love it because you talk about painting and brush. As many of you know that I was in construction for many years before I was called to this ministry. And guess what I used to do in construction? I used to paint homes. Yes, indeed, interior and exterior homes. I know exactly how to use the brush and the roller and sprayers, but trust me, I know Islam much better than I know anything about painting. And from my experience about Islam, I found out when you talk about Islam, you don't need not a small or a big brush or a roller. Or even a sprayer. All what you need to do, if you want to talk about Islam, is you open this big 5-gallon bucket and dump it on the floor. And that is Islam, especially if it is red color paint. Dumping the blood out of the bucket of Islam is Islam. What happened in Yathrib, the first city where Muhammad was welcomed with his companions as refugees, it's exactly what happened in Egypt, it's exactly what happened in Spain, it's exactly what's happened in Europe today, and it's exactly what's coming to America tomorrow. It is the same circle, nothing new under the heavens. The problem is that the American people did not learn from the past history of Islam in the foreign land, and that's why that history will repeat itself here in America. Islam is not what Professor Esposito or Usama Dakdak teaches. Islam is the words of Allah in the Quran. And the sad thing, when you open the source of Islam, Allah's words and Muhammad's words and Muhammad's sunnah, you will find the repeated history of Islam. And if you talk about it, you will find that liberals like Professor Esposito will call you an Islamophobe, a hate monger, or whatever other names they give to us. You don't need a brush, Professor Esposito, not a small quarter of an inch, nor a 15 or 20 inches to paint the picture of Islam. Just look inside the bucket of Islam. It is just blood. As we all know, the history of Islam can be summarized in one simple sentence, a gushing river of blood. If we just know the steps which Muslims take to tell us exactly the future of Islam in America, they are using Professor Esposito right now as a useful idiot to accomplish the early stages of the future of Islam in America. But in reality, it is a gushing river of blood. Muslims go through steps, and in the end, you will see nothing but the killing of the male and the raping of the women and the children. It did work very well 1400 years ago in Muhammad's days, and it's still working throughout the last 1400 years. And it will work great in the near future in the rest of the world, which is not controlled by the Muslim believers. So Professor Esposito now is going to dig into the past. Hopefully, by doing that, we will find out what the future holds for the Muslims. Listen carefully to the following statement.
We see that coming to a head with Park 51. Park 51 is the so-called mosque at Ground Zero. So Park 51 comes along after we've had Muslims in this country for decades, after we've now had mosques in this country for decades, after Islam has become the third largest of the world's religions.
Yes, indeed, my friends. We're talking about Ground Zero Mosque. And what I love about liberals, that they don't have logic when they talk. Because time does not change facts. Yes, Muslims have been in America for over 40 or maybe 50 years, as their number is increasing beyond our imagination in the last 20 years. And they will quadruple the number, trust me, in the next 10 to 15 years. But that does not change Islam. Especially when we understand Islam. As I just said earlier, Muslims go through stages. As it was in the days of Muhammad, it is exactly what is repeated throughout the history of Islam in the last 1400 years, and that is exactly what is coming to America. Muhammad was very nice, very loving, very peaceful. He believed in the interface. He believed in dialogues, maybe. He met with the idol worshippers, those who worship the 360 gods, for a good 13 years. Not before he claimed to be a prophet in his early 40 years, but after he became a prophet. Muhammad did not have any problem with the 360 gods which existed inside the Kaaba next to his god, the Black Stone. I guarantee it, when Muhammad went to the Kaaba to kiss his black stone, he met with those people who worship the rest of the gods, and he said hello to them, and they say hello to him, and he wished them have a wonderful time of prayers, and they asked him if he had wonderful time of prayers. But what happened in the end of the 13 years? Muslims go to stage number two. That's not the interface stage, that is the insulting stage. That is when Muhammad started mocking all their gods. Wait a minute, Muhammad. You did not figure out that all these Arabs are worshiping all these false gods until 13 years later? No, he just gave up on the loving, peaceful method to reach out to the lost people of his days, the Christians and the Jews and all those idol worshippers. So Muhammad became a bully, insulting all these different gods and the people who worship them. So what happened next? People did not like him. People stood up for their beliefs and their gods. So Muhammad and his companions had to leave. So they went to the city of Yathrib and told the Jewish people there and the Christian people there and the idol worshippers there the truth. That now we got the true religion of Islam and we have Muhammad the prophet of Allah and all of you are a bunch of infidels. No, they go back to stage one because they are weak in the land. They actually cried out to them, feed us, we're hungry. Give us some clothes, we're naked. Take care of us, we are humble, loving, peaceful refugees. But now Muhammad learned from his previous experience. He is now pretending and he have in his mind exactly step number three. And that is when Muhammad offered the Jewish tribal people who owned that city before he ever set a foot there. Those are the people who welcomed him and his companions as refugees. They took care of all their needs. And a few months later, Muhammad and his few companions began to do their business of invading the caravans. After all, he and his companions go out, attack the caravans, kill the men, take the goods, come back, and the number of his followers grew and grew. And the people of Yathrib did not know that Muhammad is making new poetry in his book, the book of the Quran. In these new verses, Allah told him and his companions, it is right for us to invade these caravans, to kill these men, and to take the spoil of war. And the number of Muhammad followers grew and grew from less than 100 to thousands. Surprise, surprise. Now the option which is given to the people of Yathrib is, one, to convert Islam. Two, run for their life. Leave your homes, leave your city, and run for your life. And they did. So they left their city for Muhammad to take over. As Allah taught Muhammad in the Quran that this is your city and these people have no right to live in it with you. 8 years later, Muhammad moved to the next stage. That is when Muhammad had 10,000 companions. These are men who love death more than the rest of the known world in Muhammad's days love life. So they went back to Mecca and they invaded it. So now Muhammad owned two cities. The city of Medina, which used to be a Jewish community, which Muhammad took by the edge of the sword, and the city of Mecca. And now Muhammad have 12 armies. And within a year or so, Muhammad was able to take over the entire Saudi Arabia peninsula. And then Muhammad died, and his successors, Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar, Osman, Ali, and on, the rest of the early Muslim leaders follow the same message. But the problem we have in the West is that we have never learned these messages which Muslims have always used.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
As we're going to see in our study, I'm going to be talking about Spain and the Battle of Cordova in Spain. And sadly, even though the history is written, and you, my friends, can go right now online on your phone, on your computer, on your iPad, and you will learn about what happened yesterday. But the sad thing is our politicians, our leaders are not learning that, but they are repeating the same dumb mistakes which the people of Europe did years ago. And guess what the result? It will be the same. Because it is insane to think that you do the same mistakes of those who came before us and you get a different result. That is insane. So, Professor Esposito, it's not because the Muslims have been in America for 40, 50, or even 100 years. That does not change who they are. A snake is a snake is a snake, sir. The only problem I have with liberals like Esposito, they look at a baby snake and say, look, it's harmless. It's beautiful. Touch his body. Oh, smooth, slick. Snake, and you can give that cobra, which is a very poisonous snake, to your little children. They can play with them. They actually can hide them under the pillows until their friends come and visit with them. And then they show them, here, look what I sleep with every night, a baby snake. Professor Esposito, the longer you wait, the bigger the snake will be. And that cobra snake, or whatever poisonous snake you left with your little children to play with, to sleep with in their bed, that poisonous snake someday will be big enough, dangerous enough, to bite and kill your children. Not just your children. As a matter of fact, it will kill you too. The parents. Having baby snakes in our homes for a few weeks does not change the nature of the snakes. Now it's time for us to learn the truth about Islam. To save our children from the poisonous Muslims who are right now a nice, loving, and peaceful people. people. But when they will have the upper hand, they will never be the same. The same snakes we play with when they're little babies, when they grow up, they will kill us. That is concerning the years where Muslims lived in America. As for point number two, when Professor Esposito is telling us that these Muslims built mosques in this country for all these years, once again, Professor Esposito, it's not because Muslims built few hundred mosques in their early days when they were loving and peaceful. That does not mean it's okay for us to allow them to continue to build more mosques or Islamic centers all over America, especially when we know from their own handwriting why Muslims are building mosques or Islamic centers, as I will be sharing with you, my dear friends. As for the third reason why Professor Esposito do not see that there is anything wrong of having Muslims in America, that is because they are the third largest religion in the world. That means it's okay for us to have them here in America. This is so dumb. This is so foolish. Because I do not believe Muslims are the third largest group, as he said, but they are the largest. It is not because Muslims are the largest group in the world that means it's okay to have them in America. For as we said, I repeat again, when the poisonous snake is big, is not a good reason for why we should have the snake in our homes. That is a problem we have with the foolish people like Professor Esposito, who are influencing our leaders for the future of America. Or we can say, for the future of Muslims in America. So let's continue with Professor Esposito, who said,
it comes along at a time when Muslims are no longer the way ethnic Italians were, or ethnic Catholics were, or any other group that came, Jews, etc. That is, in the first stages of trying to fit in, being maybe in the lower echelon of recognition in society. But when, in fact, in the last decade or so, Muslims have become, and I'll talk about this in a second, economically and educationally fully integrated into the American mosaic and increasingly political.
Boy, oh boy, so much facts Professor Esposito is sharing with us. Yes, Muslims in America are no longer what they used to be 40 or 50 years ago. Why? Because they are moving to stage number 2 and 3 and 4. That's exactly what I'm talking about, Professor Esposito, but you're not getting it because you don't see the end of the story. I know Professor Esposito is trying to tell us that the Italians and the Catholic in America were persecuted for years, and they moved on step by step, and now they are accepted. And now our Catholics are taking over America, as he mentioned earlier. As we see that in our Supreme Court judges who are Catholic, our politicians are Catholic. But what Muslims have to do with Catholics? What Muslims have to do with any other minority group in America? You don't compare apples to oranges, sir. Catholics will not destroy America, my friends, but Muslims will destroy America from within. This is exactly what I'm going to be sharing with you in our study. I will prove it to you from their own words. These are the Muslim believers. From their own actions, these are the Muslim believers, which Professor Esposito could not say anything wrong with them. Because after all, he think that they are the best we got. They are changing our society for the good. He said, once again, listen carefully. Here is his own words.
But when, in fact, in the last decade or so, Muslims have become economically and educationally fully integrated into the American mosaic and increasingly political.
Yes, indeed, Professor Esposito. You are now sharing some facts. But guess what? You're lying too. You said, but when, in fact, in the last decade or so, yes, indeed, in the last 10, 15 years, Muslims have become economically and educationally fully integrated into the American mosaic and increasingly political. What is integration? Integration is assimilation. It is people becoming part of the society. It is not just about pretending to be an American, because I'm sorry, you cannot be a Muslim and an American. A true understanding to the Muslim beliefs makes it impossible for those who say they are Muslims to be an American. That's why we see some of your friends like Linda Sarsour, who will tell us openly, we will never assimilate with Americans. You know what never means, Professor Esposito? It means never, sir. Now we got Muslim congressmen and women, Muslim mayors, Muslim governors, Muslim everything, even Muslim president, Barack Hussein Obama. That does not make Muslims part of America, but makes Muslims invaders of America. Integration teaches Muslims to be friends with us. I'm just giving you a very simple example. You cannot be part of the society when you hate the guts of the society and you wish harm to the society. So now we're becoming friends. Now, can a Muslim be a Muslim and be a friend for, say, some Jews and Christians? The answer is absolutely no. You know why? Because Allah in Quran chapter 5 and verse 51 said, "Do not take the Jews and Christians for friends, for they are friends to one another. And whoever among the Muslims take a Jew or a Christian for a friend becomes one of them." And then Allah said what? "Surely Allah will not guide the unjust people." It is sin, Professor Esposito, for a Muslim to take a Christian or a Jew for a friend. Here is a fact, my friends. All the Muslims of America who are taking us for friends are simply practicing Quran chapter 3 and verse 28, where Allah taught them it's okay to pretend to be friends with the infidels. That is by taking them as friends with your tongue, but not with your hearts. Yes, indeed, Muslims in America can take us for friends and they integrate in our society, but that friendship is a temporary friendship. And that's obviously until Muslims move to the final stage. That is when they have more power in the land, when they can control the West in a deeper level. And that's when you see the real picture of Islam. But then, Professor Esposito, it will be too late. And Muslim, for sure, at this time, will be controlling America. And to continue our study of the future of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.